next few years, okay, that there is change in the air.
Okay, cool.
There's going to be less work is going to be produced, bigger work, more important work. The work's going to be going into different galleries, higher end galleries, all that kind of stuff. So there is some change in the air. So maybe, I'd say maybe in 10 years, maybe this is something that, you know, we would pursue, you know, going into that. I think I'm still young. I'm 41, but I still feel like I just started painting. I feel like I'm early 20s.
Yes. That's one thing I realized, being in the milieu definitely does keep you feeling young.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, having, I got three young boys, trying to keep up with them. All the hip-hop thing and music and all this kind of stuff. So I think there's plenty of time, you know, for me to go that route. But I really want to get my art to a certain technical level.
Okay.
You know, not just I'm more well known than I know of. You know.
Yes.
I don't think people know who I am. I'll actually be in an airport and some people will come up to me. Mr. Wall, how do you know me? Oh, I know you. You know, I collect your art. I see you on the internet. This. I don't know that. As just a lot more people know who I am than I think.
You know, there's one thing that I was thinking in terms of just along that line is where it's, given how you position yourself and so on, is that, you got Celine Dion and a certain, so they come from here, and within their fields, they are large heavyweights, top sellers, and so on, and it is, you should be, to me, as well known as they are.
Right.
Which is not to slight that you aren't known, but still that they are at a different level, and it is just, to me, it's extremely frustrating seeing stuff like that and then realizing and
but again I'm like it's all timing and it's for a good like 12 years even though my work is selling all over the place I didn't feel that I was just ready to come out per se so after the world's largest painting I said it's only going to help what I want to do in my bigger picture. If people know who I am and I get more publicity and my name gets bigger and I can sell my paintings for more, therefore I can give more money away. And when I do these art auctions for charity, instead of raising $30,000, I can raise $60,000 because my prices are double. Yes. And, I can do so much better, for the big picture if I get my name out there, publicity, and get up to the Celine Dion level.
Okay.
So that's it's in the works.
Okay.
It's in the works. But for the first 12 years or so, it wasn't a conscious effort that, I have to do, website marketing here and there and interviews and TV. Like, it wasn't a plan. It was just, I'm just going to do my thing and we'll see where it takes me. But now there's a little more planning going on. There's a lot more things. I have my distributor for my art. I have my live performance thing. I have Princess Cruises. I've been doing a little licensing by myself over the past few years.
Okay.
The posters, Kleenex box.
Okay.
Number one selling Kleenex box in the history of Kimberly-Clark. My
very
design.
Cool.
It was running for close to 10 years.
Okay.
And I think it stopped about a year and a half ago or so. But that, I've done a few, journals and stationery and gift wrap and things like that, but a little bit. So now I have a licensing agency out of New York who's going to handle that stuff.
Okay.
They're looking for companies that could, fit well with my art and do some, tasteful connections there. And what I want to do is really work with a specific company. I don't want to just create X amount of images and say, put these on coffee mugs.
Yes.
It's like I want to create something specifically for that company.
Yes.
Really sort of tailor make this image, for them, have a little more of a connection. So that, you know, that's happening. There's going to be a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening. I'm very excited. I think I'm at a, I'm finally at a very comfortable point in my life. You know, my family is great. You know, established, kids are in school. You know, I no longer have to live paycheck to paycheck. You know, even though, you know, people think I'm this top selling artist, I got, you know, money's coming out of my sock. It's
not the case.
I'm running a, I have a 5,000 square foot, you know, studio. I got people. I have expenses. I have, you know, camp and schools and things. You know, mostly it's hard. Mm-hmm. But I'm at a point now where things are more comfortable, and I'm more comfortable traveling. I didn't want to travel before, but now I enjoy the travel. Mm-hmm. Enjoy meeting the people. I really love doing these festivals, art festivals. Yes. Because you're getting, you know, 25, 30, 50,000 people, you know, coming through. It's almost like the gallery effect, the museum effect, where I'm actually getting to meet these people. Mm-hmm. They come up, oh, you know, they're, Mr. Wall, you know, I love your work. I collect it, or I want to collect it, or this is the first time I'm seeing it, you know, when they purchase it. You know, that's a great thing. And to be, to get out of the studio and to be able to actually meet people, you know, who are buying your work. Because for the longest time, I sell it to one guy, to the distributor, and it's just, I have no idea where it goes. Exactly. I don't even know the names of the galleries. Mm-hmm. That I get these emails. You know, where can I find your work in Wisconsin? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, contact these guys. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you don't know? Well, this is how it works. And they're so amazed that they think I'm selling directly to the gallery or something like that. So it's just, it's great to get out, meet people, get feedback, you know, right away. I'm doing a painting, I finished the painting, people clap. Mm-hmm. Most artists don't get that. Yeah, they'll never get that. So it's kind of cool. I think I have a pretty cool life.
Okay, it does sound like, so I just keep wanting. So they're giving that, I'm not the one living it.
Yeah.
It's always saying, okay, I could see that, I could see that, I could see that, and realizing I flip it back to my life, and Lucci is telling me, oh, you should do that, you should do that. I said, hold on, I'm already doing tons of stuff.
I know, that's it, and there's only so many things you can do. Mm-hmm. Marie, who you've spoken to, we put up this calendar on the wall, and it's just like, full. Like there's spaces, and all those spaces are going to get filled in. But I was just going crazy with you know, scheduling from here and there, and I go to get on an Air Canada flight, and then, sorry, Mr. Well, you're not booked on this flight, and I'm realizing, oh, I've got to be on Delta. Like, I don't even know what airline I'm supposed to be on. So things are getting a little more hectic, but Marie's there to get me more organized, and everything's all color-coded now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can look up at the big picture, and wherever there's blue, I know I'm on the water, I'm on a boat. You know, wherever there's green, I'm on land, and it's a show, a festival somewhere. And yellow is family time. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool how things are coming together, and it's not so just here nor there. Like, schedule is actually being made, and things can be planned, and it's not so, you know, flying by the seat of your pants or anything. So it's kind of neat that way.
And I have one last question, which is the, whatchamacallit, no-brainer. Given that the, your record is you're about to be broken or just has. He's working on it?
It's funny because last week I got an email from my sister that was forwarded from my sister's father-in-law in Vancouver, and she says, take a look at this and then call me back. And for some reason I couldn't open up the attachment. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't call her. And then I guess Marie was talking to you, and you said you want to ask him this question: if your record's ever broken, are you going to try to beat it again? I thought, that's a weird question. And then my mom calls me that night. She says, did you know you're in the paper today in Vancouver? I said, what? Yeah, someone's trying to break your record. And I thought she said, when she read it, she said 40,000 square meters. Mm-hmm. I go, this is 10 times the size of what I did. Good luck to the guy, you know. And then I just got the, she sent me the actual clipping. I got it yesterday. I'm looking at it, and it's 4,000 square meters. So just like 120 more than I did. And I was like, oh, okay. So he's going to be able to do this. So all the best. I actually have, Marie's going to find out, you know, get some information about this guy. I'll send him a good luck thing. And I want to send him a piece of the world's largest painting. And maybe we can trade world's largest paint. Good luck to him. You know, that was a part of my life that was just, it was incredible. Such incredible highs, incredible lows. It was unbelievable. Like, I was just so, you know, passionate about, you know, what I was doing. I would go to any length and make it work. So when I first started it, I was going to do an 80,000 square foot painting. Mm-hmm. It was going to be, the hero image is a replica of the hero poster. Mm-hmm. So I was going to incorporate everything in the poster, even this big green border and the writing along the bottom and everything. So it was going to be 80,000 square feet. So I set upon to do my 80,000 square foot painting. Mm-hmm. And then my friend of mine calls me up and says, Eric, have you seen the latest edition of the Guinness Book? No. Well, there's a 110,000 square foot painting in there. Mm-hmm. Somebody beat you to it. And I'm like, ah, man. I go to this studio space that I was renting. Mm-hmm. I built this 400 square foot easel out of steel studs and things. Ripped it all down. It was in a big pile. I didn't do anything to the painting, which I came very close to, like just ripping it up or something, but I just took that easel and just ripped it off the wall. And just so, like, depressed. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, God, what am I going to do? And then it just, it must have been maybe 24 hours, and then it hit me. It's like, wait a minute. You know, it's like, hundreds of people worked on that painting. Mm-hmm. What if I do it by myself? Because I had started this painting by myself. Mm-hmm. I was going to get people, you know, come up with a formula where, you know, people could come in and do bits and pieces of it, hire different artists, you know, assistants, whatever. I was going to get people as well. So it's like, you know what? What if I do it by myself? There's no record for that. Mm-hmm. The world's largest painting created by one guy. So I called Guinness Book, and they said, well, you know, we got to have an official meeting on that, and we'll let you know. And a couple weeks went by, and I got the official facts through saying, no problem. Mm-hmm. Do it by yourself. Good luck. If you can do it, you know, we'll give you the record. You know, 5 years later, you know, painting it in my spare time by myself and, you know, trying to find, you know, money you know, to pay for the canvas. I put in over $40,000 of my own money to buy the canvas. Yep. And then there's, you know, the Ace Hardware donated some paint and this and that. But we tried to get some big sponsors, FedEx, to trump it down, things like that, which fell through at the last minute. But we got some great sponsors came in at the very end and pulled it off. Yes. You know, we just pulled it off by the seat of our pants, more or less. I was literally painting. As I was painting the last few panels, the truck was being loaded because it had to get there for, you know, November 29th, so it could be warehoused and then get ready to be trucked to the museum. So I was in the Museum of Fine Arts in North Carolina. So it was just really right down to the wire, and when we finally laid down the last panel, I had my family. I'll show you some tape. It's really cool. Laid down the last panel, and you know, yeah. Everybody's clapping, and the Guinness guy gives me the, you know, the record. Great, and I'm like, fine. And then like NBC or whatever comes right into my face with this big camera, and it's like, well, you know, how do you feel? I said, well, what do you mean how do I feel? And then I just started bawling because I just thought of, you know, the 5 years and what I had to go through, you know, the money, the sacrifice of time for my family, and I was just a mess.
So then I take it you're not planning on re-breaking it and come up with something else.
No, I have some other things in mind, which I'll tell you, and I'll ask your feedback. But that was that. That was great. I have it documented. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have reels of footage, and that's that. It was a great time. in my life, and good luck to this guy. It's going to be very exciting for him too. I'd actually like to go there when he unveils this thing. So we're going to try and get in touch with him and see what we can do. Okay. Maybe never been to Sweden.
I just heard about it briefly on the news. I think it was on Monday or something like that.
Yeah.
And which was and which point then made sure that they mentioned you. And said, okay, now I can relax.
It was on the news? It was on.
Yeah, well, there it's in the morning. Luch and I listened to CBC Radio 2, and they have this thing called the Arts Report.
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me up the wall because the guy who does it doesn't know diddly squat.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, like picking it a scab, I just keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came up with this thing, obviously, having picked up that Vancouver newspaper or something like that.
Yeah,
and Luch said, somebody's going out there to make the world's biggest painting. And I said, I've heard about this before.
Yeah. And they mentioned my name?
Yeah, because there was, believe it or not, the Whitmore Carr record holder is Canadian.
Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And so, yeah.
No, good luck to him. Good luck to him. So this latest thing that I want to do, actually I'm going down to New York for the Art Expo next weekend. And I'm going out to scope some locations.
Okay.
Where I'm actually going to be painting live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be sort of encapsulated on a billboard.
Okay.
In Times Square.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I got this idea from a girl in California who's trying very hard to find a husband. A boyfriend.
Yeah.
Per se. Right? I don't know if you heard about this. Her name's Billboard Girl.
Okay.
So she actually lived on a billboard for a week. Yeah, Yahoo.com, Yahoo Personals. Now they set up a billboard, and they built a room for her on this billboard. And she actually lived there and had her computer, porta potty, and whatever. And she, through the Yahoo Personals, people driving by, would see this and saying, Yahoo, I need a date, log on. People would log on, they would chat, and then she would invite people to the billboard for dates.
Okay.
It was the coolest thing. I just thought that was, that's kind of neat. It's kind of out there, it's kind of different, and it really got amazing publicity. Mm-hmm. CNN, ABC, NBC, David Letterman, Jay Leno, all this kind of stuff. So I kind of thought, that'd be kind of cool, but I'm not looking for a wife, so what can I do? I'd love to make some more charity dollars for Camp Heartland, for Starlight Foundation, for something. So now let's do something wacky and crazy, and let's do something with eBay. And eBay's going to build this studio, the live studio up on this billboard or something like this, and I'm going to be, in there for a week, and I'm not going to come out, I'm not going to shower, I'm not going to shave, and as I'm doing my painting, there'll be a live webcam, all that sort of thing. And as I finish my painting, I'll take the camera, take the picture, upload it, on the laptop there to eBay right away. So people are always, coming back on eBay, seeing what the next Eric Waugh painting is, coming up on eBay. And we'll have other things for sale as well. Maybe I'll do a different, I'll do some type of poster, maybe a limited edition, something. Where all the proceeds going to Camp Portland, Starlight Foundation, things like that. But the cool part about it is, thousands of people can watch me paint live.
Mm-hmm.
Now with internet and like webcams and all this kind of stuff, they can see me actually create it. They can actually get a chance to own that.
Mm-hmm.
That they've been watching me create this, because that's the one major thing that I get from these live performances. People actually get to see something created from beginning to end and have a chance to own it.
Yes.
They're just blown away by that. There's been a number of times where people will buy the blank canvas suit before it's painted, not knowing what they're going to get, but just the experience to be there, husband and wife, a glass of wine, some nice dinner, and be able to watch this.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I realize. I'm just very lucky in terms of for me to do studio visits.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's a no-brainer. It's what I do. It's part of my job. And other people, they say, you get to see stuff in the studio.
Yeah.
Never thought of that. That sounds so cool. I say, come along. It is fun.
Yeah.
But it is that, very few people actually see the whole part of creation.
That's right.
And while I've seen heavyweight do stuff, haven't seen you because you're down in Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is the sort of thing where I recognize that. To me, the live creation part isn't as much of an allure as being able to see the stuff that nobody else gets to see,
right,
as the studio visits and that sort of secret cachet where I say, okay, I can play fancy ass.
Exactly. So it's just, I just think it's cool that so many people
get a chance to
see it live and get that chance and charity and all this kind of stuff. So that's something that's coming up, something that I want to do.
We're trying
to work something out with today's show. They're very interested in having me on. But I don't want to just come on just to come on.
Yeah.
I want to do something important. I don't know if it's going to be that or not, or something else. The Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York, they're interested in having me.
Let's
make events or something. That's cool.
Yeah.
And that would be maybe today's show or something like that. There's a lot of things going on, but it's just, tying them all together and timing and the cool factor.
Yes.
There's so many things, people want me to do, but it's, I really got to make, good use of my time and, I met this hip-hop rap manager a couple years ago in Atlanta. I'm telling you about all this charity stuff that I do. He's like, man, how do you make money? You're giving so much away. He's like, well, this is what I enjoy doing. This is why I'm here. But he says, man, you're not making dollars, not making sense.
Yes.
I said, well, I'm making a bit of both, and that's good for me. So whatever we do, we try to really balance, the charity with the making money thing.
Nice. It depends on priorities and stuff.
Yeah.
To me, it's like I say, I have a gallery, and at this point, supplies my beer habit and I'm happy. I don't need to be living in some mansion on a hill or anything like that.
Exactly. There's a lot of times where I just go for the charity event and then just come back and I'm not making a nickel and I'm putting money out. That's fine because it all sort of comes around. And then I got a phone call, a couple of months later saying, what, we're doing this other charity event, but the director of Princess Fine Arts is going to be there. He'd love to meet you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And then it works out that way. But I think, doing good is a good thing.
Yes, definitely. Entirely.
People notice, it doesn't matter how you're doing the good. You don't have to give money. You can give your time and give your knowledge. You don't necessarily... You don't have to give a product. It's just somehow give, and it all comes back.
And it comes back even larger and better.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you very, very much. My last question would be, and always is: is there anything I haven't asked that you want me to ask?
I don't know. That's kind of hard because you didn't ask it. I'll show you things in here. Maybe some things will.
Can you go a second so I can refill the coffee?
No, wait. No, I'm fine.
Okay. So, there's, I definitely think, to get word out even more about you, that to me would be the best thing possible.
Right. Well, if you're willing to help.
I'm doing my best. I'm almost surprised with the blog and how many people read it every day.
Yeah.
And it's a sort of thing where one of the things that is my main thing is just getting visual art as mainstream as music, as books and so on. So why not?
Yeah.
And slowly trying to change people's perception.
Yeah.
And
that's probably one of the reasons why I didn't want to, for people to know who I am. I just want to do my paintings, that's fine. Is there's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like if you're making money as an artist, that's a bad.
No, it isn't.
Not at all. But this is the sort of the feeling that you get a little bit if you're commercial. Oh, you can't be too commercial. Oh, you can't do posters. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you can. you know, why, when they say artists, they speak of, you know, a Celine Dion or mm-hmm. somebody, they're artists, mm-hmm. actors, they're yeah. artists, mm-hmm. you know, but they are all judged by record sales, mm-hmm. by box office, yeah. you know, by this, by that. Mm-hmm. It all has to do with money. But when it comes to an artist, mm-hmm. they're not judged by, you know, how many paintings they made, how many posters mm-hmm. they sold. You know, that there isn't a like the equivalent of a Grammys mm-hmm. for art, you know, for
yes,
for poster sales, for painting sales, for
actually
performances.
That I've never even thought about, but you're right on that. Although mm-hmm. there is obviously a change of foot, because in Toronto last week. They had this small awards thing called the Untitled Art Awards. It used to be Steam was like it was sponsoring, and then they stopped sponsoring, so now they're Untitled.
Right.
But it was all art-based. And then the other art awards I know is there's the Art Critics Association of America that hands out awards. Mm-hmm. But it is the sort of thing nobody
goes out with. Oh, it's very, no, it's totally underground. It's not on MTV, on Much Music, yeah, it's not...
It should be.
It should be.
Uh-huh.
Or on a smaller scale or something. I don't know, but...
Bigger.
Bigger. Okay, yes. Bigger. And you'll be the one who's going to spearhead it.
I'm sure. That's fine.
This is just a whole sort of...
Okay.
A bunch of stuff here, but...
Yeah.
You've seen this. Thank you for Ozzy is a thank okay. you from Camp Hartland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rippington.
Yeah.
Tony Bennett, Freddie Cole, Nelly Furtado, mm-hmm. B.B. King Club, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
I perform live on 42nd Street. You know, how many places yes. can say that?
Yeah, who's your favorite performance?
I probably have to say Tony Bennett.
Okay.
You know, the Rippingtons were kind of cool too, because it was a really, you know, nice beat and vibe, you know, going through. And they're, you know, the musicianship was outstanding.
And who would you want to, if you could pick any musician or musicians?
Mm. That's hard. You know, I did a performance at it was a. Like a techno club mm-hmm. in Atlanta.
Okay.
It was just to a DJ, mm-hmm. you know, and I had just the absolute best time just because of the beat and mm-hmm. the vibe and the lighting and the smoke. It was crazy.
Okay.
You know, it was like, what am I doing here? But just the whole vibe and everything was really cool. So it's really it's not necessarily, you know, who it is. Mm-hmm. It's just the feel of it and mm-hmm. the beat and the sound and all that kind of stuff. But
and it actually just occurred to me, you're talking about in smoke and mirrors, and I don't know why it didn't occur to me before. Have you ever contacted the Cirque du Soleil? Because hooking up with them, probably as far as just getting larger, the word out and so mm-hmm. on, and incorporating like their stuff, incorporating live painting into it, I don't know if you'd be able to dedicate that much time to it, but maybe some special one-time event or
well,
that's
what we were thinking, and I believe the Carters have, you know, connected with them in some way or another.
Okay.
But yeah, we were thinking more of some sort of maybe special fundraiser they're having mm-hmm. or who knows yeah. what, but you know, being involved with them mm-hmm. in some sort of capacity. The Jazz at Lincoln Center, mm-hmm. that really interests me
yeah.
a lot because mm-hmm. it's very it's a beautiful venue mm-hmm. and they have three or four different venues within this complex. So I know that the sound, the lighting, the mm-hmm. stage, the people, the ambiance,
yeah.
everything is going to be, you know, there mm-hmm. in place. So I'm a little nervous about that,
okay.
but I think, you know, I think it's going to be great. But we'll probably start out doing some type of, you know, fundraising, mm-hmm. you know, event, which would be, you know, which would be amazing. And then from that, you know, I don't want to be... you know, this performing mm-hmm. artist.
Yes.
You know, I want to do it more of
okay,
sort of not pick and choose, but just, you know, be invited,
yes.
you know, mm-hmm. maybe to some things. The Doobie Brothers was amazing. And I got a call on a Thursday saying, can you be in California on a Monday?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I have to be in Toronto
yeah.
at a show. And they said, well, let me tell you what's going on. You know, you're going to paint live to the Doobie Brothers. It's like, well, let me make a couple calls, okay. see if I can work it out, you know. Like, just... spur of the moment like that, spontaneous. That was kind of neat. And I always liked the Doobie Brothers. You got a great sense, and I knew all that kind of stuff.
Howdy, how are you doing here?
So I thought that'd be kind of cool. So, you know, I don't necessarily want to be on the road with this choreographed thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to pick me where it takes me. I'm not too sure, but I love painting to everything, you know, from hip hop and jazz and blues and rock. And I can't even name, you know, one artist that's like, oh god, I love to paint with.
Anybody you wouldn't want to paint
with? Yeah, that first band I painted with back at Mama May's.
Okay.
I even painted Live to a Belly Dancer, believe it or not.
Okay.
You know, this Eastern, you know, Indian music going on, and that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I did, you know, kind of a different piece, a little spicier piece than I would usually do.
Okay.
But I love challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of paintings, and it's just, as an artist, you want to be challenged in different ways. And that's how I would be challenged, not knowing what I'm going to get into, not knowing who the band is necessarily, who the music could be. At the last minute, Eric came to a belly dancer.
Yes, sir.
It's like, what are you talking about? Most artists would say, you know what, get it, I'm going to paint this. Like, okay, you know, this is the show. We'll go from there. I'm very open to all, you know, all kinds of things. I don't like anything. Here's like a hip-hop sort of piece.
Yeah.
That I do, a little graffiti going on in the background. And this was very impromptu. This was a guy from the station, though. It was like a hip-hop sort of MTV thing happening in Atlanta.
Okay.
They came, this is at the Swiss Hotel, they were coming to interview some band, I don't know who it is, and they saw what I was doing, and, you know, they're very interested, and I had this blank canvas there. So they're like, well, can you do us a painting? You know, we'll get you on tonight at 6.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sure, no problem.
Okay.
So they had a hip-hop CD, we stuck it in the Blair, and, you know, I did that piece. That turned out, and then this was cool with Freddie Cole. I had four canvases suspended on cables from the ceiling, and see, I'm up here on a riser, so they're up and down and up and down, you know, a little bit of a performance. But, you know, we auctioned this off for $14,000, the money goes to the Atlanta Children's Center. Like, not bad for an hour's worth.
Yeah.
Maria Howell, she's amazing. Amazing singer. I always loved it. I've painted to her a few times. It was some of these paintings I can't stand, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's what they're out in the people like.
Love them. You know, I've gone through a few different styles along the way. I do a lot of painting. You know, some fun stuff. Painted live on radio. One of these pieces is a Jefferson. Is that Jefferson statue? Oh, Firefly. It's kind of a neat piece. Alan Harris, I painted a lot with him a few times, actually recently down at the Super Bowl.
There's
a fundraiser there. Jefferson Starship. Oh, yeah, Sambuca Jazz Club. That's a nice club in Atlanta. Painting live on NBC, ABC, CBS, all the stations to the Symphony Orchestra in Atlanta. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, imagine picking up the beat there would be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was more, you know, flowing sort of lines and then, you know, Atlanta Jazz Fest.
Okay.
This was cool. But I do the Jazz Fest poster for the next
four years.
This is the one for this year that we're doing.
Next year.
Okay. This is actually my licensing agent in New York, Wildflower Group.
Okay.
Alan Harris actually came up and I did a painting line to him. He sang, you know, this huge crowd.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. B.B. King. He was amazing. Ever hear of Tommy Manuel?
No.
Unbelievable. Acoustic guitar, just by himself. And there's this one song where he plays, it sounds like there's like eight people playing. Mm-hmm. He's banging on the side and picking with this hand and picking with this hand. He's like all over the place. It was just unbelievable. President of NBC, mm-hmm. did his piece live out in front of their studio here in Chicago, and they auctioned it off. Minneapolis. This is that piece I did at Swig.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is, 45 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. The colors are kind of pinky there.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Very cool.
And then the Carnage, do other artists as well?
They were working with other artists, but they sort of, committed themselves sort of solely, to me.
Okay, now the only reason I asked that is, have you ever thought of, with a performance, combining and having somebody else who you sort of almost do a duet as opposed to just being you solo on a painting?
You're saying a couple of people on the painting?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Never really thought of that.
Okay. Because that's what they did there. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on this as far as live performance painting,
right,
with music or without music. But like Heavyweight, it is a collective and they have three people.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a sort of thing where each person in the collective has their own specific role.
Right.
And so it's somebody just doing the background. They start left to right. And then at which point somebody comes in and tosses in the faces.
How big are these?
5x5.
They're on canvas?
Yeah, on canvas.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you know of something that's coming up?
I can find out. Yeah, their studio is up on Mount Royal. I can definitely get you some information about them. Their style is not at all like yours. It's much more of a graffiti influenced stuff.
Right.
With a lot of spray paint and spray can effects.
Yeah. Well, let me know. I'd love to see them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there is some, just thinking in terms of if the Carters had other painters who were doing the same thing, then at which point send two of you out for
not
one
really.
Thing.
This first artist that they had, Marvin Posey, he was amazing. He was this large, muscular, black guy. He was 39. And he actually died of a heart attack after a live painting performance at the Hard Rock Cafe in Atlanta. He was pumping up the steroids as the oldest people to show.
Okay.
And,
you don't need steroids to do painting.
But he, he thought that's what he needed to get pumped up.
Yeah.
And he was just dripping with sweat when he was done. He was working in oils.
Okay.
And he's doing this thing with rags and dancing and a little flashier than what I do. I'm not going to do spins and stuff like that. But he was really, getting into it just because of his build. Mm-hmm. He was just dripping. So the combination of, the drugs and the high that you're on, mm-hmm. and then the low when you finish and the sweating, he was just loading up his car with things. And then I stepped in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know of anybody else out there doing similar?
There are a few people, I hear little bits here and there, but nobody who's really doing it on a large scale. Mm-hmm. If it gets noticed, they'll do it in a small little club here and there, but
no, because I'm also thinking now, like,
here was Danny Dent.
Okay.
He died as well. But he'd be on a Jay Leno show and things like that doing paintings. He would do them upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Big canvases, do them upside down and then turn them around and it would be Mick Jagger or something. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of rock stars and all that kind of stuff.
I'm thinking in terms, I know that also here there's in Montreal, there's this thing for picture on the back sort of. It was up and down, and so say 4 years ago it was big, and 10 years ago it was big, and now it seems to be suffering. And there is where you just get a bunch of artists go into a bar, and they say, okay, we're painting, and then we auction it all off at the end of 2 hours or stuff like that.
Right.
That's pretty much given the state of the Montreal art market. Everybody's like painting for beer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
that's the hardest thing for me is like, you know, I wish I could just, you know, grab all these artists mm-hmm. and sit down with them and tell them, you know, the reality of the art world. It's like there's so much more than
just
trying to get it into, you know, one gallery I can sign it. There's so much that you could do with your art if you want to. You know, if you don't want to, that's fine.
Right, come back to the difference painting for yourself and mm-hmm. for other people.
Exactly. Well, my answer.
Yes, by the way. Eric Hiroyuki. Eric Wong.
Hi, how are you?
Hiroyuki, yes. My intern.
Cool.
And at which point, yes, it's extreme help. He is probably going to be the one going to be transcribing this.
Cool.